Babylonians. Sam and I thought people in this section didn't take a bath this week. So that's why it's kind of low. See, and Kayla's going to get a shower about a week or so, no matter if she needs it or not. Okay, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Okay, let's go ahead and pray before I read this. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. I do pray that you'd help us to be faithful to your words. I do ask that you'd help us to spend, that we might make adjustments if need be, and that we might draw closer to thee as a result of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, any Bible teacher, they might get this one right, that this is kind of like a model church. Meaning that they're doing the best as far as Paul would expect them to do. And 1 Thessalonians is kind of a letter of 5 chapters. It just deals with kind of what we'd call the fundamentals, which it is a good thing to practice, but you don't want to limit yourself to that. And then 2 Thessalonians gets into the basics on prophecy. Actually, it focuses on the 1st and 2nd chapter, the prophecy of the second coming of Jesus and the devil. Both of them have a second coming. Okay, so he focuses on those. And then at the end or toward the end of the letter, he deals with some practical things of life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. He says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. So evidently, they got that doing well with that. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, taught by the Holy Ghost. They got that figured out. and indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Okay, so, you know, a very unique thing here, where a person pays his own way. Wouldn't that something? Okay, and so that's the idea. You work with your own hands, make your own money, what you need, pay your own way, doing your own work, and that is pleasing to God. Okay, 2 Thessalonians. Several years ago, I got a letter from some kid who was trying to do a mission trip. He's asking for church to support him. And so I wrote him back. I said, give you a little suggestion. Do what my son did. He paid his own way and went to like 15 foreign countries. Saved his own money, and like what our kids, you know, Heidi and Ash both, pay their own way. Going to these places, ain't that very unique, instead of somebody else paying your way. But I don't know if the kid received it too well, but I sent it out anyway. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. He said this, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Okay, they're busy about the body. Now, the profession that really magnifies that is the news industry, the news media, where they're busy about the body, doing nothing for a living. Verse 12, now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. The idea of working in this context is working with your own hands, doing your own business. If you have your own business where you're your own boss, okay, that's one way. Another way, if you're working for somebody. Verse 13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means, and the Lord be with you all. Sounds kind of like a southern, but Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin, so he's a southern boy. So the idea here is in two times he used the word quietness. Quietness, study to be quiet, and or here, and that with quietness they work. Okay, the idea of studying to be quiet is not an idea where you're supposed to be a hermit or to be silent at all times. If it was true, that would probably be my life verse, because I wouldn't mind that. Okay, but the idea is to be orderly or peaceful, and it's living in the practice of a calm virtue of life. Okay, it's knowing when to talk, and it's knowing when to be silent. You know, Solomon wrote that there is a time to speak, and then he also said there is a time to be silent. And I probably accent more on the silent part, especially after talking as much as I have to do on Sunday. Sunday night, you know, my vocal cords are just tired, and I'd rather not talk. Okay, but even at that, the idea is study to be quiet. And the thing is, observe people, take note of people, look at them, observe them in their habits, observe them in their conversations. I can remember when I was a kid, if we'd go to the mall, Dad and I'd sit on a couch while Mom was doing the shopping, and we'd just sit there and watch people. You know, watching them get a drink at the drinking fountain is kind of funny, you know, where they all stroke, you know, and get it all over their face. But the idea is learn to watch people, observe them. And if you learn to watch people, discern them, you're going to discern a lot of people carrying a lot of hurts. And a lot of people hiding a lot of things. And at the right time, maybe you could say something to them to help them through it. Or to bring conviction. So I want to give you some thoughts this morning about this idea of study to be quiet. If you would, look in Proverbs chapter 8. And the first thought is this, is hopefully every single day, sometime in the day, you have a quiet time with God. Okay, we live in a fast-paced society. Brent did a quick tour down to Panama, and he said one thing that was amazing about Panama is they don't seem to be in a hurry. And he was to meet one of the Panamanian missionaries, and he was 2 hours late. And, of course, he was kind of frazzled because he was 2 hours late. And the missionary, he'd already assimilated the culture. It was like, 2 hours late, so what? It doesn't matter. And just don't be in a hurry. Now, when you go down south, you just don't get in a hurry. I noticed at Rensselaer Tuck, people aren't much in a hurry. When I first started down there, I visited this elderly lady. She said, I'm just going to visit you for 5 minutes. Well, 3 hours later, that 5 minutes kind of stretched out. Okay, but the idea is that in our society, everybody's in a big hurry. And you know, that's a trick of Satan to get us distracted. To get us distracted, to keep our minds off God. We have so much distractions in our country that people are forgetting God. We have all these time-saving devices, and people don't have time to spend time with God. I actually had a guy in jail tell me that he didn't have time to read his Bible. Jasper County Jail. I mean, they got nothing going on back in that jail. And he actually said to me, I don't got time to read. I just looked at him and said, yeah, right. You got time to play cards. You got time to yell back and forth. You know, I could never figure those guys out. Lockdown was from 11 at night till 7 or 6 in the morning, and that's when they were awake yelling back and forth. I would think when you're locked down, you're stuck in your cell, go to sleep, and when you can walk back and forth, that's when you yell back and forth. But those guys just get that cattywampus. I could never figure that out. And in that previous jail they had, they don't do it in one now, but they had on the bars where the sun would come up, they'd say, that's 10 o'clock, and the shadow is here, that's 11 o'clock, and the shadow is here. And because they stopped asking me what time was it, when they'd ask me what time it was, I'd say, it's time to get saved, you ready? So they said, oh. And so they quit asking me that. But the idea is, get a time alone with God somewhere. Okay, Proverbs chapter 8. If If the Bible was given vocal cords and could speak to you audibly, Proverbs 8 and 9 is what it would say. Okay, both chapters is personifying the written Word of God. Now we know, obviously, the true personification of the Word of God is Jesus Christ, the flesh and blood, flesh and bones Word of God now, where pen and ink Word of God is this blessed book. In Proverbs 8:34, he said this, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Now, I know that's referring to the Word of God. If you back up in chapter 3, in verse 1, he says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." And that's referring to the written Word of God. Spend time alone in the book. Get alone with God and let God recharge your spirit. Let God recharge you and spend in time with Jesus Christ, where he said, in Matthew chapter 11, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." That's not kicking back. It's finding rest unto your souls because you're dealing with Jesus Christ. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time in prayer and praise with God. It's time spent quietly reading the Word of God. We're not following the bouncing ball as they're singing through church, or following the bouncing versions as they're going through the Bible. It's us personally getting out a Bible and reading it. I kind of like what Sam Gibbs says. You know, a lot of people putting them on these iPads, and this one guy's bragging about, "Oh, I can read it on my iPad." So he goes like this, "Let's see you do that with your iPad." You got to have a book. You got to have a book that's going to be with you when they pull the plug on the internet. And so the Lord wants us to be reading this blessed book. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 18, we have a wonderful story with Elijah. He had a great victory. He stood by himself against the scholars of his day, 450 prophets of Jezebel and 400 false prophets. I don't know if you want to put them together, 850. If you want to just keep it 450, I could care less. But one guy against all those people say that was unfair odds. Yeah, it was for the false prophets because Elijah had God on his side. And he had quite a contest. And he won. And under the Old Testament covenant, they could kill false prophets. So he got the sword out and started a new Jenny Craig diet. He cut 20 pounds of ugly fat off, separated their head. That was quite a victory. And then right after that, they was waiting for a storm to come, and I think Ahab got in his chariot. He was going to try to get back to this one place, and Elijah outran him on foot. He outran the horses getting back. And so you say, boy, this is quite a character. But you know, the amazing thing, when you get discouraged, one person can bother you. And in the next chapter, Jezebel put out a hit on Elijah, just like Hillary did, you know, when she was in office. I thought Bill was in office. But all this hit that they put on people, and that scared Elijah, and he went and hid from her. How could a man stand against an entire nation by himself, but one woman bothered him? He got discouraged. He got discouraged. And he ran away. And while he was gone, God sent an angel to him, and he said, "Pal, you need to sleep. You need to rest. You're too busy." And so he ordered some birds and started bringing them some food, and he got resting. Okay, and then the Lord showed up, and The Lord didn't show up in the whirlwind. He didn't show up in a big storm. How did he show up? In a still, small voice. And that's how he showed up. And Elijah was so discouraged, he said, God, I'm the only one standing for you. I'm the only remnant left. Ha, ha, ha. I'm the only Bible believer around. Yeah, right. The Lord's got him tucked here and tucked there and tucked there. And he said, man, you got to be kidding me. I got them all over the place. You're not the only one that hadn't bent the knee. Who do you think you are? He said, you need a replacement. He said, okay, I'll get a replacement. He said, don't go to the seminaries. That's a waste of time. Don't go to the college. That's a waste of time. He said, oh, right over there is a guy plowing. He's got 12 yoke oxen. He said, over there plowing. Go get that kid. And he went and got Elisha. Okay, and the thing is, how could a man stand up against an entire nation and then be scared because of one person? He got discouraged. He got tired. He got tired physically. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, the Lord told the apostles, we need to come apart. We need to go away. We need to get away from these people. There's times you just need to get alone. And you need that every day. You yourself as an individual, take a walk, get someplace by yourself, just a quiet place where you can have some solitude with your God. And in the summertime, if you got a vacation time, take a family vacation. Don't go with somebody else. Just take your family. You know, if you want to go with somebody else, fine. Maybe they'll pay your way. I don't know how that works. But I just like to go by ourselves as a family and just enjoy each other. No clocks, no anything. But you see, a lot of times in these churches, a lot of people are just tired because they're working so much. Fundamentalism was known for that. They don't have time to spend time with God, and they just got worn out, just like Martha did, got worn out. And the thing is, we need to slow down and stop and think. If you would, look in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1. Yeah, sometimes a guy can get too busy for God. Proverbs 17, verse 1. This verse says, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. The idea there, on the context of the Jewish culture, this is a dad or a father, somebody that's gone constantly down to the tabernacle to offer up sacrifices, but he's fussing with his wife at home. He's fussing with the kids. He don't have a peaceful home. Oh, but he's got a lot of sacrifices. He's religious. And the Lord said, it's better for you to cut that out. Stop that and have a quiet, peaceful home than to have a house full of sacrifices. As you're yelling on the way to church in the car at each other, you know, popping a bird at somebody possibly because, you know, it pulled out in front of you. And then they're going to come and sing, peace, peace, wonderful peace. Yeah, right. The Lord's watching all that stuff. The Lord wants us to have a calm spirit. He wants us to have a time with our God, and that comes by spending time with Jesus Christ. You know, it was amazing how the people noticed the apostles where it says that they were unlearned and ignorant men. But what did they do? They spent time with Jesus Christ. Okay, the next thought is this. Quietly study people while working. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Last week I mentioned that unfortunately in the ministry, a lot of times people separate the spiritual from the secular. And that's not true for the born-again believer. Whatever type of job you have, maybe if you got your own business, okay, that's fine, that's great. If you're working for somebody else, you need to recognize that they need a chaplain on your job. Oh, no, you're not going to have the official title of chaplain. But they need somebody to witness to them. They need somebody to be a testimony to them on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, and Friday. And whatever your calling is, vocational calling, Ephesians chapter 4 says that we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. A lot of people put, oh, that calling, that's a preacher. Yeah, but that's the carpenter too. That's the bus driver too. That's the mechanic too. That's anybody that's saved and is doing something, and you got to stay busy working, trying to make a living where your vocation becomes a ministry. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, it's telling us while we're working, it says, "Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Your fellow laborers need a believer to minister to them. Not while you're working. Maybe it's like Nipsco job where you're sleeping, you know, between sleeping, so you can probably witness to them. But something like that. But even during a coffee break or something, during a break time or after work, something like that, where they need somebody to witness to them. They need somebody to be a testimony to them. They need somebody to look at, to observe, to watch. Oh, they're going to watch when they find out you're a believer. And they're going to watch you like a hawk. And that's good for you. Now, if you're a worker under somebody, Titus chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 are two verses that will pretty much guarantee a continual job. When time for layoff, they're not going to want to lay off this guy. Titus 2, verse 9 and 10. There's two verses that if a person just gets these two verses, gets them in their crawl, even in a downturn economy, I'd say they'd find a job. Okay? Or they'd maintain their job. They're going to get rid of the dead weight. Titus 2, verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Just shut up and do your job. Do what the foreman says. He's trying to do it a better way. Tough apples. Do what they say. Okay? Not answering it. Not purloining. Stealing from the job. Taking stuff home. That's not in the dumpster. That's throwing extra stuff in the dumpster that don't need to be in the dumpster. Not purloining. Okay? That's theft from the company. From the boss. It says, but showing all good fidelity. That's a careful, exact work. It's like I'm the owner. Okay? And when a person does this, it says that they, the master, may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. It's given honest day's work for honest day's pay. It's fulfilling what somebody needs to be done. Now, the way to witness to the workers, the best way to witness to the workers is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 17. And it's not running your mouth all day long. Okay? There's a balance in here. Okay? But the idea is we learn to say the right words at the right time to the right person with the right spirit. And it's amazing what will happen after that. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 17, it says, "The words of a wise man are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools." Ever deal with somebody about an issue and they get louder and louder and louder when you're talking to them and they're trying to get their point across? It's because they got a weak argument. They're trying to force it down you. And that's when you get quieter and quieter and quieter. And that's when you smile and walk away when it's getting nowhere. Okay, but when you hear people talking back and forth, and if the Lord would give you a statement to say, say it and walk away with it. And let God deal with them. Okay, there's a balance in talking too much, talking too little. Okay, where in Proverbs chapter 17, it states that a fool is known by a multitude of words. But then in Proverbs 21:28, it says that he that heareth speaketh constantly. So when we hear of God, you want to tell somebody. So there's a balance in both of those. Okay, but the balance between that is if you analyze most people's conversation, it's nothing but a bunch of foolish talk. Yakking about this, and, oh, what about this Hollywood star? Well, what about this one? What about her? It's just a bunch of nonsense. Okay, but idleness is a devil's workshop. People too idle today. Luke chapter 16, verse 49 states four sins that were listed in Sodom. Number one, pride. That's why they chose gay pride as their title. Pride is their number one sin. The fornication, that's a byproduct of the pride. Second thing is abundance of idleness. Third thing is they have too much bread, too much possessions. How are they getting it? They got it from the king of Sodom. And the fourth thing is they wouldn't give the bread to anybody. They're hoarding it. But the idea is abundance of idleness. Young people coming up, they need to learn how to work. Work is not a cuss word. It is not a dirty four-letter word. Okay? They need, especially boys, need to learn how to work. This is a trouble with living in cities or even towns, is it's hard to keep the boys working. You gotta really get an imagination to keep the boys working. Working with their hands. Learning to create something. We're in a society where a kid thinks it's cool to throw a rock through a window. Well, that's real intelligent. You know, it takes a brain to do something like that. Okay, what about putting a window in the building? People talk about self-esteem. Okay, I'll tell you how to build self-esteem. Create something. Boys, get your bicycle out and paint it. Take the wheel off. Take the chain off. Put it upside down and take something from the cereal box and take a clothespin and put it in the spoke so you got headers on your bicycle. Okay, make a ramp. Build a ramp and so you're jumping it. So you land on your face a few times. You need some of that. That toughens you up. Okay, boys need to learn to work with their hands. Get a hammer and beat a nail into something. Find something to work. Make a birdhouse. I don't care if the bird's not going to live in it or not. Learn to do something. And the better you get at it. You see, there's a curse in the Old Testament where it says, woe unto them that lay house to house. That's cities. And the reason why the city life is because it's hard to raise good boys in cities. Boys that learn how to work. First time I ever filled out a job application, I was probably 19, 20 years old. And I put on there last place of employment, so I put the farm. And when did you start work? And I put birth. I mean, driving tractors on the road, you know, fifth grade, 4'9" tall, big kid. You know, my brother had a blast when we'd be plowing. You know, we'd plow back and forth, you know. I don't know why we did it, but we waved at each other each time we came back and forth. Every time, hi. It's like I never saw him again. Hi. Next time, hi. Back and forth all day long. Hi. And we did that. We just constantly did that. And he would laugh and laugh at people when they'd see me. They'd try to see me driving a tractor. And they'd look. And then he'd be on the other tractor laughing away. I mean, he cheated. He got started early in the tractor. He started in third grade. I started in fifth grade. But I remember one year in junior high school, we had a whole week off school. It was a warm year, a hot, sunny week. Man, it is a good time to be in the field. Put 63 hours in that week. Kept track because I got 50 cents an hour. I was in the dough. 50 cents an hour. 63. Man, you know, cash money, so that's not taxed. But I mean how that goes. And I went back to school on Monday, and the kids in class said, where'd you go to last week? You go to Florida? I said, no. Where'd you go? I said, went to the field. Didn't have a cab. No air conditioning. No umbrella. Ate dust all day long. Back and forth. That was good for me. Kept me out of trouble. Work. Boys need to learn how to work. You know, and the girls are out doing the boys because they know how to work and the guys know how to... Them thumbs are going to develop some arthritis someday. Okay? And they need to learn how to work. They need to get out of the house and learn how to work. I mean, if a kid knows how to work, he's going to get a job. And if he knows how to obey orders, if he knows how to come on to work on time, and if he knows how to show up to work, and if he knows how to show up to work sober, he's going to get a job. But I tell you, in this society, you know, they're just propping this economy up, and it's all a facade. Everything's a facade in our culture. And boy, are they going to get a wake-up call. Find out that, You know, the money don't come in a mailbox all the time. And the thing is Americans used to work. Craftsmanship used to be something that was amazing in America. It ain't anymore. Not that way. People don't know how to work. People don't know how to shoot a gun anymore. They don't know how to be out in nature anymore. You know, kid, where do the kids want to go?
Let's go to Six Flags.
Amusement. Muse means think. Amuse means don't think. I'm not saying don't go to it. Yeah, have your time and go and have some fun, but have some fun in the woods paintballing, shooting each other. I mean, learn to be out and working. Work with your hands. Dad, teach your boys how to work with their hands. Learn how to work. Figure out ways to get them to work. You see, and this abundance of idleness is not helping us. And the abundance of idleness, if a lot of these sissified boys that are now sodomites would have gotten beaten up in a fight by somebody, it might have gave them some manhood along the way. And they need to be toughened up. And, I mean, that's where this country's going down the tubes is because we got too much idleness. Work is God's design to keep us out of trouble. When we got to sweat it out from week to week on pay and so forth, that's what keeps us out of trouble. And the thing is, a lot of people aren't doing things. You got to find some things to do. Create. Be a self-starter. Learn to make something. Learn to work on an engine. Get on. Man, we are in a society, if you don't know how to do it, get on YouTube and you'll find out how to do it. I mean, you got to take the door off the car. You got to fix, you know, put something on, you know, your car. Or fix the change oil. Fix the brakes. You know, I fixed the brakes in the Honda. Got on the internet. Typed in brakes, you know, rear brakes. Say, wait, you know, show how you do it, and then go do it. And bring the little ones right there beside you. Teach them what a 9/16 wrench was. You know, I had wrench so ingrained in me that I thought Amazing Grace was such a wrench like me. You know, I didn't know it was wrench for a long time. And the thing is learn how to work. I can't thank God enough for how we were taught to work. Nothing better than that. Oh, I didn't appreciate it then. I didn't like going back and forth in a, you know, that one field I had to cultivate where one row where the planter wasn't deep enough and it had 1-inch corn and 5 rows of 12-inch corn. Normally, you can go 4 or 5 mile an hour in that. When you got 1-inch corn, it's 1 mile an hour. 1 mile an hour. Back and forth in a hot sun of June. And the highway workers over there sunbathing for about 3 hours. Oh, did I want to throw dirt clods at that guy. But you see, that taught you how to work. And you just hope and pray that the Cubs have an extra inning so you can listen to them on the side of the fun defender. Oh, extra inning Cubs. No, they're always losing to stinking Cubs. You know, that's how it would go. But the idea is learn to work. Quietly, study people while you're working. And then someday, the work is done. When Jesus Christ sets it all up. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Oh, that day is going to be a good day when Jesus Christ sets it up. Nothing better than that. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. The Holy One of God has a plan. Boy, he is going to mess this world up before he gets this set up. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. That's Israel. Isaiah 32, verse 17. Again, dealing with the second coming of Christ, where he said, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Now, I mentioned that to develop self-esteem is when a kid, when a person, a guy or girl, paint a picture. When they write something. When they create something. Oh, when somebody comes to our house, you know, and they show the house, and my wife says, he built it. Well, you know, the head kind of swells a little bit. You know, and then I look at it, and I look at it now, I say, man, I'm tired thinking about it. You know, but the idea is that when you can put your name on something, I built this. Yeah, if it's a kid's drawing, you know that the eyeball is not in the right place. Don't criticize the eyeballs where the ear's at. Just as long as the kid's drawn. He's learning to do some artistic talents. Okay, encourage that child in that. But there's going to be a day when Jesus Christ is in charge, and that's when we're going to have total peace and quietness. That's when we rest in Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us, until then, to pray that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life. But we work hard for Jesus Christ. But even while we're working for Jesus Christ, we set some time aside so that we could spend some quiet time with our God. And then we see the people that we're rubbing shoulders with, and we see that these people are having a tough time. And they're hurting. And I know a lot of them are trying to drown it by drinking. And that's why they're getting drunk. They're trying to drown their sorrows. And I know a lot of them are taking dope because they can't deal with life. But there's nothing better than Jesus Christ who helped us overcome it. Spending time with Jesus Christ is a lot better. Okay, and we spend some time with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He gives that calm assurance in our hearts, into our soul, and then we can go out and try to help those that are having a tough time with it. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to study to be quiet. He wants us to speak at the right time. He wants us to be quiet at the right time. He wants us to minister to our family by providing for our own household. You know, a man, if he's not willing to provide for his own household, he is worse than an infidel. When we talk about apostates, what about providing for your own family? You know, apostate, there's an infidel. That's the step lower of an apostate. Pay your own way, like Paul said. That's what he did. Okay, and the Lord wants us to have a peace and a calm assurance in our hearts so that we can please our Savior. Looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ comes back. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to, in our spirit, help us to spend time with Thee. Help us to recognize as parents we need to teach our children to work. Teach them to have some initiative. Help them to be self-starters. Help them to see a task that needs to be done and do it before being told to do it. Lord, I just pray that you'd really help us to have a peace and a calmness and an assurance in our hearts and a quietness about us that is a quiet confidence that people might take note of, that we might be a better witness for Thee. And Lord, I just pray and ask You to help us to spend time with Thee, have our quiet time with Thee. If we've put that aside, help us to be faithful and get back to it so we might spend some time with our holy God, so He might minister to our spirits, because we can't do this without the help of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed with that.